This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
The House Committee on Appropriations will now come to order. And before we get started, I just want to make sure we've got enough members here. So we've got six of us. And we have three bills up for hearing today, 52, 67, and 147. Before we get started, we will call roll and then we'll do the Pledge of Allegiance. Representative Duba.
Here.
Gross.
Here.
Haugard.
Here.
Mills.
Here.
Mullally.
Here.
Fitzgerald.
Here.
May. Howard. And Carr is absent, excused. Six present, three excused. We have a quorum. All right. Thank you very much. We'll proceed then. Let's rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. Representative Gross, would you lead us, please? I appreciate the legislative members who got those flags placed and those that sponsored them, and it's a good practice. Oh, today we have one page in the room. If you'd step forward and introduce yourself.
The other one will be back shortly.
All right. Go ahead and just use the microphone, please.
Hello, my name is Addison Whitnable.
And what are your plans after high school, if you have any?
I'm thinking about going to Lake Area for cosmetology.
Sounds good.
Good job.
Thanks for being here. All right.
I do.
Very good, Representative Fitzgerald. That motion has been made and seconded. Any discussion on the motion?
26 bills were heard, 14 were passed, 10 were tabled, and 2 were deferred to the 41st day.
Very good. That was a busy day. Any other discussion on that motion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Motion carries. We had one other page that stepped into the room. If you'd step forward and introduce yourself and tell us what your plans are after high school.
My name's Alex Otten. I'm a senior at Stevens High School in Rapid City, and I plan on majoring in finance.
Very good. Thanks for being here. All right. First up today is Senate Bill 52, make an appropriation for the replacement of the Richmond Lake Spillway for the general maintenance and repair of other state-owned dams and to declare an emergency. Are there any proponent testimony? Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jared Johnson, Commissioner of School and Public Lands. Good morning.
Good morning. You may proceed.
Thank you. In an effort to be brief, I had presented this to the Joint Appropriations before, so forgive me if I'm redundant again on the information. I think you folks have seen this before. Simply stated, Richmond Lake Dam was a dam that was built back in the 30s under the Work Progress Administration, under the Roosevelt presidency. It is quite old. It's an 87-year-old dam right in there. Mina, as well as Elm Lake, are two other dams of that same vintage that have been replaced. They had tremendous damage done to them by flooding. Richmond is a dam that I was first made aware of back in 2007. I think week 4 of my start as past commissioner, I was brought to my attention by the state engineer that it's a high hazard dam that has a tremendous amount of water behind it, like all dams, but it would create tremendous potential for loss of business and life it had it breached. So I'm glad that we're looking at this and we possibly have the ability to fix this dam. It provides recreational opportunities as well as an area in Aberdeen for folks to to enjoy. One of the reasons it is considered a high hazard dam is because if it were to breach, there's so much downstream infrastructure from it. Storybuck Island is in the creek that it would empty into, as well as the AgTegra facility, and a number of different things. A beef packing plant's in the thing as well. So we think it's prudent to come before you, like we had done with Elm Lake, which is currently under construction right now, to ask you for help on rebuilding it. Thank you.
All right. Are there any further proponents for Senate Bill 52? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Paul Lepisto, a registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Division of the Isaac Walton League of America. As a conservation and outdoor recreation organization, we support full funding for this effort. These little lakes, little dams around the state, as you all know, are very, very important to people's quality of life. And even though they're, when you look at the big picture or a 30,000-foot view, they're little dots on the map. These are very, very important. And members of the committee, in a prior life, I spent over 7 years of my life in Aberdeen, living in Aberdeen, so I know the importance of Richmond Lake to the local area and what that means to people. So we would urge your full support.
All right. Thank you very much. Other proponents? Senator.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Brock Greenfield. I'm the senator from District 2. My hometown is Clark. I wanted to offer a couple of things here. First of all, this is not new to you folks, because we did hear it in joint and it passed out 17-0. And I believe the next bill up on the agenda is similar in that nature. But as it relates to Commissioner Johnson, I think the first bill that he ever brought forward dealt with this very dam. And I'm really happy that this has made it this far in the process. There were some efforts taken in 15 to do some repairs. His successor and predecessor, Ryan Bruner, actually took me to Richmond Lake Dam about 2 months ago. And I got to stand on the dam, and I got to see all the new hairline fractures that have formed since the efforts undertaken in 2015. This is a high-hazard dam. If it breaches, we will definitely have loss of land, potentially loss of livestock, and potentially loss of human life. It's a big deal. And I just wanted to share that with you folks. I'd ask for your support. And I do want to also state that when Commissioner Bruner and Mike Corneliuson from the office were up there, they were gracious enough to allow me to be part of it, they met with the Homeowners Association, and they have complete buy-in from those folks on that lake. So they've done their homework. They've been thorough in that process, and I very much endorse the passage of this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Other proponents?
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Julie Johnson. I'm a lawyer near Aberdeen and registered lobbyist for all kinds of strange things in this one, but let me say I'm representing Brown County today. The emergency managers in our area have taught me what would happen if either Minor Lake Dam breaks, which it did, and it got worse. It didn't get worse, thank goodness, and you fixed that. But what would happen if Richmond Lake Dam broke and the city of Aberdeen would have significant flooding at that point in time? We would urge your support for this. It's critical infrastructure in our area, and I'll make myself available if you need any information from us. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Other proponents? Seeing none, are there any opponents? Seeing none, I'll open up to committee questions and or action.
I would move that we pass Senate Bill 52.
Second.
That motion having been made and seconded, discussion on the motion.
Mr. Chair, may I ask a question?
Yes, Representative Malai, go ahead. Well, I'm sorry, I'm going to jump to stage here, but go ahead and ask questions.
Thank you. For the commissioner, This $6.5 million that you're asking for is to repair and completely replace the entire dam.
That is correct, Mr. Chairman. Right.
What is the follow-up, sir? Thank you, Mr. Chair. What is the life expectancy of the new dam since the old dam lived 80 years?
Mr. Chairman?
Go ahead.
That's a great question. I feed cattle. I've poured a lot of concrete in my life. And as I've watched Elm Lake go, an old dam, it amazes me as to what we've learned now versus the 30s. Back in 1993, if we recall, that was a really wet year in South Dakota, okay? Mm-hmm. Our family has cattle along the Split Rock by 1 mile north of Brandon. And on that Split Rock by Island, Minnesota, there's a place called Split Rock State Park up in Minnesota. That was another WPA dam that was of that same vintage that broke. And no one in South Dakota knew where's this water coming from. So back then, I remember our family going up and looking at it, and my father was like, well, wait a minute, this concrete is starting to, you know, dry rot, so to speak. Aggregate wasn't as good. And forgive me for going around this and, you know, answering your question, but today, every pour of that concrete is monitored for temperature, making sure that it doesn't cool down too fast. It's a winter pour. They are excited about doing this job. Every week we have meetings about what's going on. The accountability is huge. And I tell you, I know it's hard sometimes when we kind of do these things, but I am very, very proud of the job being done in Elm Lake. And that standard of excellence is one that my office, while I'm here, you know, for another year, and I hope it is continued on, I'm sure it will be, that standard's high. Because that very question is what's on my mind. What are we getting for our money? And in my estimation for what they're doing with my experience with concrete pours, and I'm not no construction person, but I'm a rancher that has to come up with money to pour that feed floor, if you will, and I want it to last. And it's the same thing we're doing here. It's going to last a long time. I'm not going to tell you it's 70 to 100 years, but I know the age of the dam that's there now is, you know, it's 20 years away from a century. Boy, I would sure as hope think with all that engineering skills that we've acquired as a country and a nation that we're going to get even a longer lifespan out of it. The prep work on the bottom is phenomenal. It's packed in. They're doing a great job, in my opinion. So,
further questions? I'll just make a comment. I always found it interesting that when they replaced Highway 77 going north out of Sioux Falls, that had been in place for probably 60 or 70 years without any major attention to it. So they did something right with that concrete pour back in the 20s or 30s. Just another random thought as we've been going through some of these discussions about these projects, and then also the issue with recycling windmills. I came across some information about recycling that fiberglass into materials like this, and that might be a conversation you'd have with some of these folks, find out if they've considered the possibility of mixing the fiberglass into the pours for especially these kinds of projects.
Absolutely.
That's just an interesting way to use those materials. But any other questions? Any other comments?
You want to talk concrete? I can share a few things.
There's a man who knows everything about construction.
They do already put fiberglass fibers into concrete. Maybe you knew that, and so it would seem like they could certainly do it with the recycled material as well. And then this, I found this fact fascinating way back when I was in college, that concrete continues to gain in strength forever. But that's compressive strength. That's where concrete gets its strength. It gets like 95% of its strength in 3 days, and then it just incrementally gets stronger and stronger and stronger. So,
Representative Mills will be doing some sort of a bid on this program, this project.
Mr. Chairman, if I may,
yes,
one other thing that we were taught is fall pours with a cooler environment that's protected is usually stronger concrete.
Yes.
Now, that's old rancher, farmer lore, but to me, we can't have it too cold. We can't have it too hot. I think the consistency of the construction is well done. I know the efforts they're making, and I'm very pleased with the project. I very much so. And with that, I think that's the level of expectation that this body and your commissioner's office will have of anybody that bids these projects in the future as well. So,
I'd also comment too. There's this bill that's coming through the legislature right now in regard to those 3D printing pours with the expectation they could do this on lunar surface. And so they're going to potentially do that here. And I think part of that was cold pour projects and frigid weather. So I would expect your office will coordinate with some of those ideas in the planning phases of this too. So thanks very much for being here for your information.
Thank you.
Other committee questions or comments? Any committee? We had already had a motion and a second, right?
Correct.
All right. Hearing no further discussion, I'll ask the secretary to please call the roll.
Duba.
Aye.
Gross.
Aye.
Haugarden.
Aye.
Mills.
Aye.
Mullally.
Aye.
Fitzgerald.
Aye.
May. Howard. Carr. 6 yea, 3 excused.
That motion, having majority vote of the members present, is passed. Members elect. We will now move on to Senate Bill 67. Are there any proponents? Greetings.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Tom Kirschman, Director of the Wildlife Division. Pleasure to be in front of you this morning and talk about Senate Bill 67. I will try to keep my summary somewhat brief again, as we've had some previous conversation and joint appropriations on this specific bill, but I'll go back over a few key highlights to share again with you on Senate Bill 67. So this particular bill is a request for $5.6 million to the Department of Game, Fish, and Parks for the replacement of the spillways/dams at Lake Elvin in eastern South Dakota and Newell Lake in western South Dakota. Again, similar to what Commissioner Johnson was just describing to you in respect to these dams, these two particular structures are of an older age also. Lake Elvin was built in 1953. Newell Lake was constructed in 1958. So again, we're talking about structures that have been 60-plus years going on 70 years. When we had the high level of rainfall and flooding activity in 2019, both of these structures and these lakes experienced some damage to them. We, over the years, have tried to do some, I'll call, Band-Aid approaches to do some maintenance repairs. But when this damage occurred in 2019 due to the flooding, we actually hired an outside consultant engineering firm to assess and evaluate both of these structures. To determine what is our next step. Is there some repair action that can take place, or is there something else? And through that assessment, they determined, based on the age of the structures, the extent of the damage and safety, that it would be replacement would be the best route. So hence why we're here today and having these conversations. These two bodies of water, as I mentioned, one in eastern South Dakota, Lincoln County, Lake Elvin, highly sought after area for recreational opportunities, whether it's fishing, hunting, kayaking, canoeing, other outdoor activities. That particular facility within 25 miles of it has 250,000 people, and we know this is one area that gets a lot of activity for people enjoying the outdoors. Newell Lake in western South Dakota and Butte County, within 65 miles, we have over 60,000 people, again, enjoying this particular facility for hunting, fishing, outdoor recreation, canoeing, kayaking, other outdoor activities. So what we learned through our assessment for the Lake Elvin, for the replacement of that, was estimated a little over $3 million. And for the Newell Lake was estimated right at about a little over $2.5 million. Again, as we shared with you a few days back in respect to in joint appropriations, again, to make you aware, we have submitted both of these projects to FEMA for FEMA assistance. The Lake Elvin project, they had suggested a dollar amount of about $600,000 from FEMA. And for the Newell Lake, they estimated about 1.2 million potentially from FEMA. Again, those are still going through approval processes. When we've done these in the past, we have had very little to zero success in obtaining FEMA funds, but it's certainly worth the ask. And if we are successful in receiving some of those FEMA funds, then obviously we would utilize those dollars first and then any other available funding sources to do these projects. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're again, the bill in front of you is asking for $5.6 million to replace these two structures. Again, those damaged extensively from the flooding activity of 2019. Again, should we receive any FEMA funds, we would certainly use those first, and that would actually reduce the amount of general funds that would have to then go towards those projects. Similar to your question a few moments ago, Representative, you know, how long does this last? What would we expect the life expectancy once these replace? And I think it'd be very similar to what Commissioner Johnson said with the Richmond Lake one. Knowing that these are reaching 70 years old right now, the existing structures, our hope and intent would be through, again, new engineering, new materials, that we could at least see another 75 years out of replacing these structures for these particular bodies of water and be in place for the next generations to enjoy for years to come. So with that, we appreciate your consideration of this bill in support of 67, and I will certainly stand by for any questions that you may have.
Thank you very much. Other proponents for Senate Bill 67? Welcome back.
Good morning once again, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Paul Lepistow, registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Division of the Isaac Walton League. And if I could just rewind my previous testimony on Richmond Lake and insert Elvin and Newell, I would give you the same testimony. So I'm not going to take any more of your time other than to say that we urge full funding for this, for the issues I raised earlier this morning and what Mr. Kirschman just explained. So thank you very much.
All right. Thank you very much. Any other proponents? Any other proponents for Senate Bill 67? Any opponents to Senate Bill 67? Any opponents? Hearing none, I'll close the testimony and entertain committee questions or discussion.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Gross.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For Mr. Kirschman, I guess, as well as anybody, I certainly understand and support the need to repair and replace these, but philosophically going forward, are we as a state or our local counties or cities, are we doing any new dams projects comparable or similar to these around the state?
Through the chair.
Yes, go ahead, please.
Representative Gross, I guess I can only speak on behalf of our agency. Are we looking to do new dams? No. We have an inventory of about 80 dams right now that we have responsibility for. We do yearly evaluations, assessments on a subset each year just to try to keep up with them and see where are we at, which ones do we have to repair, do additional work to. They are expensive, obviously, as we're talking here today. But in respect of at least planning for us for new ones, I'm not aware of any on our radar right now. Our focus is on maintaining and taking care of what we have in our inventory right now.
Follow up? Thank you, and I appreciate that answer and agree with it. I think there's a balance between what you can maintain and getting beyond that. And we've got money now. It allows us to do some things, but if we don't have the money, it makes it tough. So it is a balance. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other committee questions? Representative Mills.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I kind of in my head remember that the breakdown of the estimate or how they came up with the estimate on the previous dams. I'm forgetting how you arrived at the $3 million cost for the Lake Alvin and the $2 million for Newell Lake. Can you talk us about how you arrived at those budget figures?
Through the chair.
Yes, go ahead.
Representative Mills, so again, as I mentioned, when we experienced the damage to these two structures, while we have engineers within our agency, we don't have all the technical expertise in respect to these types of structures. So we did go out and hire a consultant that would have those expertise and engineers and engineering firm. They went and assessed both of those, looked at them, and then through their processes of determining that it would be best for replacement, then through their experiences and working on other structures similar to these, put together cost estimates for replacement of them. Now, the actual specifics of it, I'm not even going to pretend to tell you how they did that, other than the fact that we went out to reach expertise to help in this.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So can you tell us how recent, and I appreciate that answer and have confidence in that answer. I'm just wondering how recent were those, was that done, and did they include some recognition of inflation for when they will get built?
Through the chair.
Yes.
Representative Mills, so the Lake Elvin one, the assessment and those estimates were produced approximately, if my memory serves me right, probably 3 to 5 months after the damage was sustained. So that estimate would be a little bit older. In respect to Lake Newell, that estimate is much newer because they've actually been going through the planning part of it and permitting so that we're prepared and ready to go. So that estimate's going to be more recent. So, yeah, and we know that even since the bill was put together and submitted, we also know that costs have gone up even from then, right? And we continually see that in all kinds of construction. So, as I mentioned also, we are hopeful and we will continue to work hard in receiving those FEMA funds as well. Again, no guarantee on that, but we continue to push real hard and forward on that so that we would have those additional funds. And again, if we get those, we will use those first to apply towards those cost estimates.
Follow up. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So the Lake Elvin one you mentioned was a little bit more stale. Do you have dates? Do you know how old those estimates are, when those were done for both of these projects?
Through the chair.
Go ahead.
I don't have the exact date in my mind. Again, I know the Lake Elvin one was, so the damage was sustained in 2019. I'm going to say our best estimate would have been late 2019, probably early 2020. And again, the Lake Newell one would be much more recent because we've actually been doing planning and permit processing here even in 2021. So that one would be a much newer estimate if I could classify it as that.
Follow up, Mr. Chair. Thank you. So is the $3 million figure for Lake Elvin, is that the budgeted figure from that engineer's estimate from 2020, or is that have some inflation applied to it in order to arrive at the $3 million?
Through the chair.
Yes.
Representative Mills, so it would have been from that time frame, but they would have had contingencies built into it. If there was a specific inflationary amount, I cannot answer that question. I'd have to go back and talk to our engineers on that.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? Representative Mullally.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On Lake Newell, refresh my memory, this is a culvert under a road. Is that correct?
Through the chair.
Yes.
Yeah, that current structure is in that. Remember that one picture that mm-hmm. we showed you how it blew out, because part of it was that culvert was actually replaced less than 10 years ago, and the material used at that time, it basically, I would say, collapsed slash crushed, and then with the force of all the water that we had from 2019 and then created the blowout, correct?
Follow up?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm looking at Google Map now, and I can see that the water level is extremely low because of the drought that we're in. Was any consideration taken into the fact of construction happening if the water level came up? Would that increase the price at all?
Through the chair.
Yes.
Representative Mullally, I don't know that I can answer that question specifically. Obviously, it will be easier, more efficient when water levels are low, correct?
Correct.
But even as testimony provided here a few moments ago in respect to Mina Lake that was mentioned, as we've worked on that project, you know, they've, as the water level was actually had to be drawn down somewhat to do the construction and replacement, so they have those abilities, and those things are always planned in there because you don't know at the time when construction would start what the exact water level is going to be. But certainly with the drought conditions right now, it would make things easier, correct?
Follow up.
Yes, go ahead.
On the estimate, would that include any of the road? Would the road need to be deconstructed and then reconstructed? Or is this culvert going to be able to be put underground and no damage to the road?
Through the chair.
Yes.
So In respect to this particular project, it is going to be a different design in terms of it won't be just a culvert chute or going out. It's going to be a chute structure, as they call it. And again, I'll be the first to admit I'm not the engineer on this. But the cost estimate for all this would be for the design and the repair or the replacement of the structure itself. So as the road would cross, obviously there would have to be some work done there, but it was all inclusive.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? I do have a question in regard to these projects, and I should have asked Mr. Johnson as well. With these dam repair projects, is there a dredging that's going to go on with these dams as well?
Mr. Chairman, in this particular case, we don't have any dredging of the lake planned with it. The focus right now is on the structures themselves to control the water. In respect to that, though, even in to do more, for example, fish habitat and to prove some things in these bodies of water, we will use some of our own resources within the agency, in particular through the habitat stamp and on aquatic dollars. Our fishery staff and aquatic staff, in particular Lake Elvin, have some ideas and how they're going to do simultaneously as the structure is rebuilt, doing fish habitat and some things to improve fisheries within those bodies of water. And we have plans, obviously, for fish management at Newell Lake as well, because it is an important recreational area.
Additional question, is there any contribution from the surrounding homeowners or landowners?
Mr. Chairman, at this point in time, no. This is right now solely looking at our agency handling these two structures.
All right. Any other questions? Thank you very much. Hearing no other questions, we'll move to committee discussion and or action.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Gross.
I move do pass.
Second.
That motion having been made by Representative Gross, seconded by Representative Fitzgerald. Discussion on the motion.
Mr. Chair, yes. I think they've made, not only now, but during joint appropriations, a full and complete case for a logically needed repair and replacement of something that's a serious issue if we don't do anything about it. So encourage your support.
All right. Thank you. Any other comments? Hearing no further comments, I'll ask the Secretary to please call the roll.
Representative Duba.
Aye.
Gross.
Aye.
Haugarten.
Aye.
Mills. Mullally.
Aye.
Fitzgerald.
Aye.
May. Howard. And Carr. 5 yea, 4 excused.
That motion, having received majority vote of the members elect, is hereby passed. Thank you very much. And we'll move on to the last bill, Senate Bill 147. Senate Bill 147. Is there a proponent testimony? We'll be at ease for a few minutes. We're back online with committee back. Let's see, who do we need? We're missing Representative Mullally. So let's just be at ease here for a... All right, we're back in session now in regard to the House Appropriations Committee concerning Senate Bill 147, and I'll invite any proponent testimony on Senate Bill 147, or Senator Heinert.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senator Troy Heinert, District 26 from Mission. I bring to you Senate Bill 147, and honestly, I was kind of surprised that it come in front of appropriations because it requires no state dollars. Lyman County is also the home of the Lower Brule Sioux Tribe, also known as the Kolwichasha Oyate. And because of a strange provision within statute and the moratorium on nursing home beds, we have to come before you to ask permission to build nursing homes on tribal lands with their own money. It doesn't really make any sense, and I actually have a vehicle bill. We're just waiting to see if we need it for something else to fix that provision. But right now, this is where we're at. Like I said, the Kalwachasha Oyate wants to build a nursing home for their tribal members on their own homelands with their own money. We're just really talking about beds. We've done this previously for Flandreau. I believe theirs is up and going. not quite going. And we also have done this for Rosebud as well. So,
all right, Senator, I'm just interrupting just a little bit. We did see this as well, that it was referred to this committee, I think, just because of the backlog of things going on. What we'll probably end up doing is referring it on to Health and Human Services, where you expect it would be. Tell us just a little bit more about this. It sounds like you've got it all figured out as far as the funding, the number of beds, and this is something I've always wondered about. Why in the world we have a moratorium on beds? But I get it. There's complicating factors with federal issues, federal regulations, and federal dollars. But this is all contained within the tribe.
Mr. Chair, you are correct. This is contained within their own homelands with their own money. You know, as Native people, our elders are our wisdom keepers. You know, they're the ones who hold our language, our culture, and it's a lot more beneficial if we can keep them close to home as they enter their, you know, the last phase of their journey, you know, on Turtle Island. So it is important that we would support efforts like this to keep our relatives, you know, close to home, around families. Obviously, you all are all aware of, you know, the limited financial resources that many tribal people have. And when we place a loved one in a nursing home, you know, far off of the reservation, you know, opportunities to visit them decrease, which decreases not only the physical health, but the mental health of that individual. So.
All right. Thank you very much. Do you expect this is going to be filled? You've got an authorization for 50 beds. Do you expect you'll be able to fill that up?
Mr. Chair, I would think we would probably get to that point. You know, housing and care for elders is difficult. We have many elders who are, you know, living with relatives right now because they can't find placement or placement would be too far away. And I want to point out that the reason we're asking for this, kind of lifting this moratorium, you know, right now there's a bank of beds still floating around in the state where, you know, if one area of the state wants to build a nursing home and we have 70 beds that are available, you know, and they're going to take 20 of them, well, that comes off of the state bank. And so now, you know, we only have 50 beds if other communities want to build a site. So this doesn't affect any other nursing home in any other place in the state. This is just strictly for the Kalwachasha Oyate.
Representative Gross.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I wasn't sure if we were doing full give and take questions or not. And if I may.
Yeah, go ahead.
Just to clarify this, and I believe you and I worked together a little bit a couple of years ago on the Flandreau one. This is essentially a parallel to that.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Correct, Representative.
Okay. And if I may follow up, an ongoing concern on any nursing home is staffing. What's the plan for that in this particular situation?
Mr. Chair?
Yeah, I've shared that same question.
You know, the Kalwachasha Oyate is actively working within their own community college to train individuals. And I've always said, you know, we should fill our nursing homes with young Native people because, you know, that the reverence that we show our elders as Native people, I think would do a great benefit. And I think you're going to see down at Lower Brule, you're going to see tribal members that will go through the training and the certification to hold those positions, you know, within their own community.
Good, and I thank you. If I may follow up a little different track.
Go ahead.
I realize you said we may refer this to Health and Human Services, but I'm not quite sure why. It's a procedural thing. If we could just be done with it here, it'd be one less step in the whole process, would be my thought, because it is as was mentioned earlier, and as we experienced a couple years ago with the Flandreau one, it's just a protocol thing. And my thought would be vote on it and get it done and go forward.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Heinert.
If you'd like to pass it and put it on consent, I'm down for that.
Well, the information I received from the speaker was to recommend that it go to Health and Human Services, but I'm not sure that anybody really keeps a tight monitor on how many beds there are as far as in the legislature. I think that's really something we defer to the state to make sure that there's an oversight there. And I remember when we renamed and allocated some funds for the Michael Fitzmaurice nursing home out there in Hot Springs, that there was the same issue. We had to move a number of beds around, but that's probably a little bit of a different situation that maybe this bill doesn't even have. So, any other comments, questions from the committee?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Mullally.
A comment. Yeah. I want to commend Senator Heinert and his thought of making sure that your younger American Indians are the ones that care for your elders, because I personally believe that families should take care of their elders. And the knowledge that our elders have that can be passed on to the younger generations is priceless, and it needs to be maintained that way. So I commend you for wanting to make sure that your elders are cared for with your own members.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, go ahead.
Well, thank you, Representative. That is important. And I'd also like to point out, you know, as our elders pass on, there are certain protocols that we need to do. And a lot of times, if they're off reservation or at a site that maybe not know those protocols, sometimes that is a struggle for the family. So, you know, this would be important that we maintain, you know, our cultural identity, that we do the things that we need to do as our loved ones, you know, transition.
I appreciate those comments.
Mr. Chair.
Yeah, go ahead.
I did receive a message from the speaker, and he so said if you wanted to pass it on out of here, you surely can.
Yep, I got that too. I appreciate the comments too, and I'm glad you're representing the interests of the tribe on this as far as identifying the payment and the need and hopefully the supply of staffing as well. So that's great. I know there's a lot of cultures that seem to be abrogating the responsibility these days, so this is a good thing. Any other questions or comments? If not, I'll entertain action on the committee.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Gross.
I move do pass.
Second.
Representative Duba, I think, already had her hand up to do that. So,
aye.
Representative Duba, second it. Discussion on the motion.
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
The case has been made. It's pretty clear, and it's a straightforward procedural thing. Irregardless of that, they have a good plan, and it should be a do pass either way. So I encourage your green vote.
All right. Thank you very much. You know, I think I actually neglected another big step in the process, too. Didn't do any hope on it. So I'll invite anyone to step forward if there's any opponent testimony. Any opponent testimony? Seeing none, we don't need any rebuttal. We've heard from the proponent. We've had opportunity for questions, and we've got a motion and a second. If there's no further discussion on the motion, we'll move to the roll call. So, Mr. Secretary, please call the roll.
Representative Duba.
Aye.
Gross.
Aye.
Augard.
Aye.
Mills. Mullally.
Aye.
Fitzgerald.
Aye.
May. Howard and Carr are excused. So we have 5 yeas, 4 excused.
That motion, having received majority vote of the members elect, is hereby passed. Representative Duba.
Mr. Chair, I recommend that we move this to consent calendar in the House.
Is there a reason why we'd want to have a discussion about it at all, or should everybody's fine with consent?
Second.
Okay.
Why?
All right. Any discussion on that? I think, as chair, we can just simply say it's received majority vote of the members elect, and we'll place it on the consent calendar. All right. Thank you. You're welcome. Any further matters come before the committee? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn. That motion has been made and seconded. Discussion on the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carries. We are adjourned.